Shalom Aleichem, welcome on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. A very good evening. Shkolim Daf Hei, Shkolim 5A, pagination page 9. In the middle of the page, we start a new perek. Masnisin, the Mishnah says as follows. Mitzarfin shkolim lidarchonos. You're allowed to join shkolim, machatzis hashekel, on the way to Yerushalayim to make the contribution. So if you're carrying a community's machatzis hashekel, so you're allowed to exchange them for darchonos, which are golden coins, mipnei masui haderech, because it's simply too heavy to carry. And therefore you are allowed to do this exchange, but it's going into golden coins, which are still considered secure as far as valuation goes. Drop down to the Gemara for a moment, about 8 lines later, asks the Gemara, V'yasu osan margolios, why don't you transfer it into diamonds, which would solve this problem even more dramatically, that you won't have to carry much? And the Gemara answers, Shema tazel hamargolios, maybe it'll go down in price, v'nimtza ha-hekdesh mafsid, and hekdesh will lose out. This opens up a massive question and discussion. What are you allowed to do with extra tzedakah money? What are you allowed to do with extra tzedakah money? So I know some of you are looking at me like, I can't believe you're serious. Extra money in a Jewish organization? But it honestly, you'll take my word for it, it sometimes does happen. Sometimes you have a building fund or something like that, or you're raising money for a Sefer Torah. Another example is some people have a Miser fund, where in some cases it's actually a tax deductible fund. It's structured that they get the tax deduction as the money goes into that fund, and then they make distributions whenever they want. So the money that's being held, are you allowed to invest it? Building fund money. It's going to be another few months before we're able to implement the new building. What are we allowed to do with the money? So there are two conditions that are very important. Number one, if the tzedakah money we're talking about is designated for poor people, you're not allowed to invest it, period, because we're worried that poor people will show up and you won't have the money available to give them. If, however, which is the essential question, it's not money designated for poor people, it's money designated for a project, or it's your own Miser money and it's your discretion as to what time you're going to disperse it, and therefore what time you're going to liquidate it out of the investment, so then the only condition is that it has to be secure. It has to be karov l'revach, close to making something, v'rochok mehefsid, and very unlikely that you're going to lose money. And you have to be acting within responsible behavior on behalf of hekdesh.
Is that why they ask on the diamonds and not on the darchonos?
Correct. The darchonos, the Mishnah says you can do. Right. It's silver going to gold. Right. And gold was assumed. I mean, we could do a philosophy and economy course why it's like that. Right. But gold was considered secure.
Right. So you have to worry that fluctuates.
You're not worried that it's going to fluctuate. Right. It's going to be a standard. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a philosophy and an economy to find out, why is it really like that? But that's the fact. The fact is that was accepted to be a stable standard. Let's go back to the Mishnah on the third line at the end of the line. B'nei ha'ir, people of a city, sheshalchu eshekleihem, that they sent their shkalim with a messenger. V'nignivu o sha'avdu, and it was stolen or lost, in a way that if this is true, and this actually happened the way it's being described, the messengers would be absolved, because they acted responsibly. Im nitruma haturuma nishba'im lagizborim. If the tithe in that famous room in the Beis HaMikdash was already taken, so then the oath that they have to make is to the Beis HaMikdash, to the person in charge, the Gabbai in the Beis HaMikdash. We'll explain that in a moment. V'im lav, but if the tithe was not yet taken, nishba'im levnei ha'ir, the oath goes to the people of the city, uvnei ha'ir shoklim tachteihem, and the people of the city are going to have to give a different shekel to replace the one that was stolen or lost. So again, stolen or lost apparently absolves them. They just have to make an oath that that's what really happened and that it's not their fault. Whatever it played itself out, that they're not responsible. It was beyond their control. Fine. What does nitrima hatruma, the tithe be taken, have to do with anything? So we know that there was a specific time when the designated person would walk into this room and he would scoop up the coins from the Machatzis HaShekel. That moment is binding on all Machatzis HaShekel, even those that are en route. At that moment, those Machatzis HaShekel are also being tithed, even though they're not in this room. It's a fascinating concept. I once had someone came over to me. We were selling chametz, and the guy tells me he just found out that his mother, not from, is bringing chametz tikka cereal from England. Just the right cereal that his wife always likes. And she doesn't realize, not from, she doesn't realize she's bringing chametz on their behalf on Erev Pesach. Literally, she's going to walk in first day Pesach and unpack the suitcase, and we're so glad to have you for Pesach, no matter when you come, Mom and Dad. But, I mean, so I had no choice but to have them call the mother, and we sold chametz en route. We designated this chametz as a zchus that we're selling it. So what happens over here is that we are locking in those half shkalim that are in transit, and they become shkalim at that critical moment. So again, what's the Mishnah saying? If the teruma was taken in that room, they tithed the coins, they took out the amount of coins that are going to be used for the karbanos, obviously some coins end up being left over, but that's fine. You're a partner in everything. So then the coins that were lost, the messenger was carrying them on behalf of the Beis HaMikdash. If, however, the coins were lost before the tithing took place, then they were still carrying them on behalf of the people of the city. The critical moment is when that tithing takes place in the Beis HaMikdash, which opens up a very practical question. We have pushkas in our home. At what moment does the pushka belong to the organization? What's the difference, you ask? Well, number one, what happens if the money got stolen through no fault of your own? Some crazy break-in, and they would take the pushka, let's say. So who's did I ever give the money to tzedakah that I promised I would give? I put a $20 bill into the pushka. Did it take effect or did it not take effect? Also, are you allowed to borrow from a pushka? Sometimes it's very convenient. You need a bunch of singles. So you figure, I'll just put in an IOU. And I have a mark in the pushka, IOU, $15. And eventually, at the end of the year, Rosh Hashanah time, whenever, when I clear out the pushka, so I'll write a check, and it says, I owe you $15. I'll just add $15 to the bill, and I'll make out a check for the entire amount. But am I allowed to do that? Or is that stealing from the organization? It's their chatzar. It's their courtyard within my courtyard. It's their pushka. They own the pushka. Are you allowed to do it or not? So initial reaction is perhaps that you're not allowed to do it. There's a fascinating comment by Reb Chaim Kanievsky in Derech Amunah in which he writes that it could be that because people do it, it's become a minig that the Gaboei Tzedakah are giving you permission to do it. Now, what's the logic behind that? Let's face it, the Gaboei Tzedakah, the different organizations, are much happier to get a check from you for $25 than to get a big pile of change. Right? So in a certain way, they want you to be their representative to take care of it. So they're actually encouraging of that, and that behavior is considered normative. So even though in the initial reaction it could be, you're not allowed to do that, it's tzedakah. What we actually want is we want the best of both worlds. We want on the one hand that we should get our zuchus now, if possible. I'm putting the coin in. I don't want it just to be a pledge that at some later date in 6 months I'm going to eventually give the organization when the check finally clears. I want a zuchus now. I want a zuchus now. On the other hand, I want the right that if I need quarters, I should be able to deal with what's there with an IOU, leaving a check, whatever. So according to this logic, if you follow it logically, you could come up with this conclusion that the minig is that you kind of become the Gabbai Tzedakah on their... There's rishus for you to do that, in which case it would be okay.